Welcome to the Lighthouse Church podcast. Thanks so much for joining us for this week's message. We want to say a special thank you to each and every person that gives and partners with us. To learn more about what Lighthouse Church is doing in San Bruno and across the San Francisco Bay Area, visit our website, www.lighthousesanbruno.com. Like and subscribe so you don't miss any new content. Now, check out this week's message.
So today we're in week two of Getting Ready is the series title, I believe. We're gonna be in Matthew 25. Today we're getting ready in the delay, it's called. Today we're getting ready in the waiting time. You guys ever been waiting for something, like you've just been hoping for something? I know for sure, I just talked to one person, I know what they're hoping for right now. And I think that each one of us could say, I'm currently hoping for something, but in the past, I've been hoping for all sorts of things. And sometimes God answered, or something happened rapidly, and sometimes it took a long time, longer than we ever dreamed, right? But there's something that's going to happen someday for sure, and we don't know when, is that Jesus is going to come for us. Amen? All right, let's read some less of my words and let's get into some Bible. I'm going to read Matthew 25. I'm going to start at verse 1 and I'm going to read through verse 13. This is the parable of the 10 virgins. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom. Come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of us, both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Lord, Lord," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." Let us pray. Father God, we thank you so much for your word, so much for your care for your sons and daughters, that you gave us this divine word, this holy word, this parable that's maybe not heard by the world, but it's being heard by us this morning. And you're translating it for us, Holy Spirit, and reminding us and preparing us that you're coming. And you're reminding us this morning, please remind us that there's a lot of distractions around us, and that we need not seek these distractions, but yet seek your face and prepare our hearts for your return. Speak to us, Father God. Use this teaching to mold us, to change us, to redirect us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So a little kind of talking about what we just read, and clearly we're a few years off from when this took place or when this was written or described. So back then, there were three stages to a Jewish wedding, and the first stage was engagement, a formal agreement made by the fathers for the son and daughter to be engaged. The second was betrothal, the ceremony where mutual promises are made, and then the third was marriage. And on the third, between the second and the third, there was a time where the bridegrooms were just with, the bridesmaids were with the bride. And they would all be preparing for the groom to come and say, it's time for the wedding banquet. It's time for the ceremony. And so it's just a picture of their current times. We don't do this. We do it a little bit different. But Jesus is showing that as they were waiting, there was preparation, that they were going to need a light for that evening as they went to the wedding banquet. And there were some clear-cut directions on how to be ready. And we're going to jump into what is going on here in Scripture and what Jesus is really speaking to us on a kingdom level versus just this wedding situation. Point one, I want to talk about who actually has the oil. Who has the oil? In verses 2 and 2 through 4, it says, five of them were foolish and five were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. And the oil here is actually representing the Holy Spirit. As the 10 girls were waiting for the return of Jesus, five of them knew the importance of being filled with the Holy Spirit, and the other five girls believed in Jesus but were unprepared for his return. This would be us. If Jesus is telling us, and one of the things I want you to do in preparation of my returning is to make sure that you have oil. I want to make sure that you're a burning light in the darkness. I want to make sure that you're ready for my return. Romans 8, verse 9 says, you, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. Oftentimes, someone will say, well, that's a bit harsh, Pastor. I don't know. I don't even know if I'm filled with the Spirit. Does that mean I'm not going to heaven? Maybe so. Maybe you're in a time of, you're a little confused. Well, I don't know if I'm ready then. This word is not to discourage. This word is to build up. This word is to remind you that if you're feeling right now like, I don't know if I'm filled, then it's time to talk to pastors. Or it's time to talk to a sister or a brother in the church that you trust, that you know is filled. I recognize people by their fruit, like by the way they're living. I could see it on their lives. It seems like whatever they touch is blessed. Not that they're rich. Not that they have something fancy going on. It's just you can tell that God's all over their lives. These are the type of people, if we're feeling it, like we, I don't know if I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, then ask somebody. And we ask God, Lord, fill us. When we spend time with God, that's what happens. We get filled. When I spent time with my rough neighborhood friends, that's when I got drunk. Because I was hanging out with drunkards. When I started hanging out with Jesus, he started filling me. Just kind of how it goes. If I go to the barbershop and I wait in line, eventually I'm going to get a haircut. Wherever you are or what you're doing or who you're hanging out with is kind of what happens. This is a picture, an example of a faithful believer living with eternity in mind. A woman in her 30s lives an ordinary life. She works, raises her children, and is active in her church. But she starts every day with prayer and scripture, keeps short accounts with others. She practices forgiveness and repentance and uses her time and money for things that matter to God. Like the wise bridesmaids, she has spiritual oil, consistent faith, daily surrender, and readiness for Christ. The preparation is ongoing discipleship, staying alert through the personal relationships with Jesus, and watching for his return. Notice this lady's not doing anything like, she's not jumping off a roof, or she's not doing all these fantastic things that we want to turn on the TV and see. You know, the gold medal X Games winner or something, you know. It's not that she's finding quiet time with Jesus. She's wanting to be discipled by the Word of God. She's sharing God's love. She's donating her time, her money, etc. Do you see what I'm saying? Charles Spurgeon says, "If you have not the Spirit of Christ, you do not belong to Christ. It is not the outward name, but the inward life that makes you His." The inward life, not the outward. And we're taught in society that it's about the outward life. We're chasing success, career, money, what looks nice. My car's getting old. I got to upgrade. My house, I know it doesn't leak, but I want to make it look better to impress the neighbors. Or whatever it is, it's deceptive thoughts. We're being deceived by the enemy all the time. We need more. We need this. We need to be successful. When in reality, I believe that this word is saying we need nothing but prepare our hearts for the Lord because He's coming and we don't know when. So we should be ready. We are in the delay. We are in the middle of this waiting game. And church, the call today is to get ready. Joyfully get ready. What an honor to get ready for Jesus who died for me. What an honor it is to serve the one that rose from the grave and showed me the power of God. He rose from the dead. That actually gave me a lot of hope because I knew that the way that I was living was death. And when I gave my heart to Jesus, everything changed. Point two, I want to ask you, can we share the oil? Maybe there's two schools of thoughts on that, because Yoli said yes, and I bet Yoli could back that up. I'm going to come at it from a different angle. Verses 7 and 9 here, 7 through 9, it says, "Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out.' 'No,' they replied, 'there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for themselves.'" So I believe this is a word for us. This is important to hear. The person to your left or to your right may be filled, but if you're not, you're not going to be able to borrow some of their oil. It might be too late. Based on what this scripture says. Just talking about this scripture here. Again, this is not condemnation. This is an invite to the wedding ceremony. This is an invite to the Feast of Feasts. This is a reminder of how to get ready, what to wear to the ceremony. Pastor Allison talked about that yesterday. When you get an invite to a wedding, there's some description on there, what type of wedding it is, what you should wear, some suggestions on how to be prepared for this ceremony. Revelation 19, verses 7, 8, 9 says, "Let us rejoice and be glad and give Him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come, and His bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of God's holy people. Then the angel said to me, 'Write this: Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb.' And he added, 'These are the true words of God.'" I think of it like this too, is in the Old Testament it would say, but we're sons of Abraham. We belong to the line of Abraham. So we're holy. And I hearken it to this. It's like, I'm going to be saved because my cousin goes to church. My grandma went to church, so I'm going to be saved. She prayed for me. And I don't know. I don't know that I agree with that in regards to what this scripture is saying. I feel like what I'm hearing is that the Spirit of God is saying, you must have your own relationship with Jesus. Your heart must belong to Jesus. Pastor Allison just led us in that time of worship when it says, What did you say about I won you over? And it's when you start kind of dating, we'll use dating as an example, but we just like the most important thing to me was Allison. Once we started dating, I just loved her. First, I loved Jesus, though. I was dating Jesus before I met Allison. He was my guy that was transforming my heart into something that I just needed. He was the doctor. It's like he operated on me. But he won me over. And we can't rely on a family member that has been won over by the power of God to get us through the gate. And to use that as like a food stamp during our time of questioning, if you will, when we have to stand for everything that we've done, right? We're all going to be held accountable for all things that we've done, good and bad. And let's not forget, he already knows all of our bad stuff. There's no secrets. When we live for him, it's forgiven. So we don't worry about that. I have so many bad things that should not allow me to even be up here sharing about Jesus, let alone on Judgment Day. I'm confident that he knows what I've done and he's forgiven me. And same for you. It's a personal relationship. This getting ready is a personal thing. Are you getting ready? Are we daily getting ready or are we doing it well on Mondays? Throughout the day, are we getting ready? Because today might be the day. Are you getting ready? This is build up. This is like we're at in the gym and we're spiritually working out. This is not like putting people down. I'm not putting you down. I'm reminding you. We're blessed to have the reminder, the love of a father saying, let's get ready. Another example of someone that's getting ready. So a missionary serving in a hidden corner of the world. A man leaves behind a comfortable life to serve in a remote country where Christianity is not welcome at all. He shares the gospel quietly, prays constantly, and teaches a small underground group about the hope of Jesus, knowing that persecution is always possible. He prepares by being faithful in a hard place, storing up treasures in heaven, and staying spiritually awake. The preparation is obedience to the Great Commission, even when no one is watching or applauding. I believe that God has been whispering in each of our ears and areas to serve, secret things to do for God, hidden little gems of things to speak to people and over people that are going to encourage them in their time of need. Are you listening? Are you hearing that voice? Are you acting out on that Holy Spirit nudge, the leading of our Father God that just whispers to us? Dwight L. Moody says, when we get to the end of the way, we shall sit down at the marriage supper of the Lamb, and our trials will seem as nothing when we gaze into the face of our Redeemer. What I'm hearing there is worry not about today's trials. Certainly not about tomorrow. Tomorrow has its own problems. But if we're focused on today, I'm with you. You probably have a few things going on that you could choose to focus on. That quote there is reminding us, don't worry about that. Worry about the day where you're going to sit and party with Jesus. Where we're going to be able to like break bread with Jesus in heaven. Where there's going to be no judgment. There's going to be like this thing where maybe we're going to be naked and we won't know because we won't be ashamed. Point three, keep watch. Verses 11 through 13 says, later the others also came. Lord, Lord, they said, open the door for us. But he replied, truly I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch because you do not know the day or the hour. So this is just a story. These girls weren't blocked from heaven. Nothing's happened. But it's a reminder that these bridesmaids hanging out together like us We're all here together, and all of us are very confident right now that we're going to heaven. Is there a few of us that haven't been getting ready? I don't know. I don't know what you do in your spare time, in the quiet time. It doesn't matter. Moving forward matters. When we hear this word and this encouraging word to get ready, we need to get ready. I want to encourage you. If you haven't been doing a stellar job of just making, we can't act like it's Jesus, it's far off. We don't know when it is. So let's get ready and encourage our family too. Those inside of our house, maybe. Today might be the day where we start reminding each other, our loved ones, hey, we need to get ready. And don't worry about how they receive that. Do your part and invite them to the preparation times. The girls that did not have extra oil, the ones not filled with the Spirit of God, the ones that were not real believers, he said, I don't know you. They're just showing up. It's like we just show up to show up. I feel like as your pastor, this thing about Jesus is more than coming to church and hoping that pastor will have a good sermon. I know you hope for that. And then during the week, we're hoping that we can scroll and find an awesome YouTube or two or three messages. And then when we're not in front of a screen, we're really hoping for an awesome podcast that will encourage us. And we're doing a lot of listening and not enough seeking Jesus himself. I'm glad that you're here this morning to hear a sermon from Pastor Matt. But it doesn't mean anything at the end of the day. Unless you hear the word from God that he's saying, get ready. The word is from God, not from Pastor Matt. Here's my thing about current times. I wonder what it would be like if we took this word and we actually, this week, made a decision. You know what? I do love other pastors. I love other churches. They've been so fun and they've been so blessed. I've been so blessed by it. I've been so blessed by this YouTube that I go to. It's my favorite. I've been so blessed by this podcast. These are my two favorite. I love this girl. She's a powerful speaker. I love this other pastor. He's awesome, and I get it. But what would happen if we pushed all that to the side and said, you know what? My pastor, the pastor of my church, where God has called me to be, where he's called me to serve, I'm going to take that word that I trust that God gave to him. I'm going to take that and I'm going to meditate on that this week. And I'm going to ask God to use that word and get me ready. What would that look like? We want all these good meals from everywhere. We do it. I want a meal. I got my favorite Mexican spot. I got my favorite pho spot. I know where to go for sushi. I want all this different stuff because it makes me feel the way I want to feel. And so it goes with our approach to getting fed God's word. We're looking for things that are going to make us feel the way we want to feel. I want to say there shouldn't be a feeling about this other than excitement. God is sending his son back for us, and we need to get ready, period. Ezekiel 33:7 says, Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the people of Israel, so hear the word I speak and give them warning from me. This verse ties directly to the theme of watchfulness and responsibility. Just as Jesus calls his followers to keep watch, God appointed Ezekiel to be spiritually vigilant on behalf of the people, a prophetic parallel to the New Testament, the call to readiness. As we get ready and we seek the Lord, and we let go of feelings and emotions about Christianity, how does it feel? No, there's no feeling. It's like, just God say, he died on the cross, rose from the grave for us. And now he's asking us to get ready. And as we get ready, he fills us. And our filthy rags that we're in become righteousness. And we become the light of the world, the salt of the world. People can see the fruit on our lives, all of us. That should be our focus. A.W. Tozer said this: "The church must stand vigilantly in this midnight hour, keeping her lamp trimmed and her heart stirred with the flame of anticipation." We know the time is coming, yeah, church? Let us prepare our hearts, carving out time each day to seek the one who has called us out of the darkness and into the light. Remember I said at the beginning, and we sang earlier, he rescues and saves. What did he rescue and save you from? Did he rescue and save you so that you can keep on doing that same thing? Or did he rescue and save you so that you could seek his face? So that he can use you to bring glory to him? Again, this is a call, an invite, a love letter to you. This is not a condemnation time to beat you up and to make you feel less than. If you're feeling like that right now because of something I said, I'm going to say that that's the enemy lying to you. And if I said something offensive, I apologize. But I don't apologize for this. We need to be getting ready. That's the word. 2 Peter 3:10 says, "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you be? You ought to live holy and godly lives." And if you're anything like me, you can't live holy and godly lives at all. You have to seek the face of God in order for him to empty your temple of grossness and fill the temple with his holiness and his righteousness. Daily we have to ask, Lord, empty me of me and my filth and my insecurities and my dirty thinking. Lord, tear out my eyes, the things that I see and I think. Lord, I need you. This ought to be our posture, our approach, every day, multiple times a day, as many times as you can make it.
Thank you for listening to Lighthouse Church's podcast. We hope today's episode has enriched your faith journey. If you have any questions or want to learn more about our church, visit www.lighthousesanbruno.com. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss an episode. See you next time.